So our next speaker doesn't really need an introduction, but I get to introduce him anyway. He is the president of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin, the youngest and the first African-American president of that organization. He's been a firefighter for more than 15 years. As you probably remember, he ran for lieutenant governor, and he is really one of the great voices of the uprising in the great state of Wisconsin. We got to know him well, seeing him leading the marches, showing up with all those bagpipes behind him. So inspiring, such an inspiring speaker, a man with a huge future in Wisconsin politics and beyond, no doubt. Is he here?
Peter Leidy,
no. Now we need the bagpipes to come out. Right, we need the empty chair.
If he doesn't come.
He's on his way.
He really likes the green
room. I know. We need to start to chant. Maylin, 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 Maylin. It worked, everybody. Here he comes, Maylin Mitchell.
How we doing? I guess I missed my introduction. I'm sorry, nature called, but so how we doing tonight? Today, it's today, isn't it? Why is it so damn dark in here then? All right. Well, I want to start my remarks by first of all saying thank you. As many of you know, I ran for lieutenant governor in the recall election, and thank you. But I want to say thank you to all of you, because I know many of you in the audience filled phone banks, canvassed, did lid drops to help out in the recall election. And I want to say thank you to all of you for all your hard work, all your dedication. And we're not over, we're not finished, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but give yourselves a round of applause for all the hard work you've done in the past year. So you all know I ran against Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. And what you don't know, I know this is a nonpartisan event, so I won't say anything bad about her. But what you don't, oh, I can. I'll tell a story, how about that? Who here has all seen the Mike Ushay show, the Sunday Journal, the political journal that comes on every Sunday? Okay. Lieutenant Governor Clayfish and I had a joint appearance, and it was an hour-long segment. We were there for the full hour. But what you didn't know, and what you didn't see, was what happened in between the segments. So I'll tell you about what happened between the first and second segment when they were going to their commercial break and they were regrouping. It's obviously taped, so we take a break after the first 15 minutes or so. So after the first 15 minutes of us going back and forth and talking about the issues, we were sitting there and she was talking about her kids. And I was talking about mine, we were talking about families, and then I went to take a drink of my water, and she went to take a drink of her coffee. Well, what she didn't realize is that at the beginning of the first segment, she had unscrewed her coffee top. So she went to take a drink of her coffee, and the coffee spilled all the way down her shirt, all the way down her skirt, and all over. And once she realized what happened, she actually flipped up the coffee because she realized what happened, and she flipped up. Then the coffee splashed all over her face, and then it got all over the table, all over my right arm, and all over Mike Ushay. Now, thank God, in all seriousness, that the coffee was not hot, seriously. But being a firefighter, like I am, I wanted to help. So the producer and a couple of the camera people grabbed towels and some napkins and gave her some, and I grabbed a towel as well, and I started to clean up the table in front of her, in front of myself, and help Mike a little bit and help her as well. And she said, "You know what, Maylin? Thank you for helping. I'm so embarrassed that I did this, and you didn't have to help me, but you're being such a good sport. Thank you for helping me, because I'm so embarrassed." I said, "You know what, Lieutenant Governor? That's no problem. This is just another time where the Democrats are cleaning up the Republicans' mess once again." And the people always ask me, yes, I really did say that. And no, I think it was taped, but obviously did not air. But my my campaign manager was throwing Nicorette gum in his mouth the entire time because he was so nervous that I said that to her. But anyway, in what seems like a lifetime ago, in February 2011, everyday people took to the streets of Wisconsin to speak out, to speak up, make their voices heard. Because we had a surprise attack on our Wisconsin values and the Wisconsin that we know and love. That moment grew into a movement, which brought us to where we are today, a place where we fought back against the money. We fought back against the power and the privilege that sparked a civil war in Wisconsin. What the election results on June 5th showed me that we still have a state that is deeply divided. It showed that this election is not just about a process. It's not just about one election or two, even two elections. It's about a movement. And I don't like to call it a movement, I like to call it a way of life, because movement's in. So this has to become a way of life of what we're doing right now. Now, last year I spoke at Fighting Bob Fest, and in all honesty and all seriousness, I never would have thought that I'd be running for political office this year. But what I saw last year, when we took it to the streets, and I saw the amazing people organizing, immobilizing, and educating the state of Wisconsin of what Wisconsin values are truly about, I had no other choice but to run in the recall election. I don't regret it at all. Some say, Malin, you and the Democrats, you and the progressives, well, you had high expectations. Well, I always say, I don't know anybody that can rise to low expectations. So we are supposed to have high expectations, and I still have high expectations. Some say, well, Malin, you and the progressives and the Democrats and your union and labor friends, and I don't mind saying the word union, I'm a proud union member. And I'm a proud union leader, but some say you and your union members, well, you guys came up short. And I say, you know what, I gotta tell it like it is, folks, because that's the only way I know how to tell it. Yeah, we came up a little bit short, but we came out strong. And we built a foundation for the future of our progressive values. But now we see what happens when we are all together. When we are all together in unison, one united voice, one united message, blending labor rights, blending civil rights and American politics into one action where we all work together. And we can never, ever lose that. We have to remember what happened last year. And we have to remember what we did in the recall, because it wasn't just about the election. It's about what we did. It's about what we did. We cannot forget that. This fight for the middle class has inspired me like nothing else in my life. But there's a couple things that I did learn and some things that we didn't know that I learned especially right up front or hardcore when it came to Wisconsin, when it came to unions. Right now, unions are being vilified. They call us thugs. They call us union bosses. We're the takers, and everybody else, for some reason, are the givers. All the rich, all of a sudden, they're all job creators. The rich and wealthy. I don't mind rich and wealthy people, don't get me wrong. They buy me drinks. But now, all of a sudden, we call them job creators. Back in the 19th century, they called them robber barons. But all of a sudden, unions are the problem, and the Republicans and the rich and the wealthy are the solution. But I like to look in the mirror before I look at someone else. I had one older gentleman tell me up north, and I won't tell you where he was. I think Eau Claire or something. Oh, I'd say I won't tell you where he was. But he said, you want to know what's wrong with unions? Ask a union member. And I thought about that on the ride home. I said, you know what, he's right. We as unions, and I know we're not all in unions here, but I'm a union leader, so I always go back to my roots and talking about labor and what we need to do to change. There's no doubt in my mind that we need to change some things that we are doing. And we got to go back to, I like to call it, three C's of unions now. Communities, coalitions, and common sense. What do I mean by that? Well, communities. We got to get back as labor leaders and as union members, as activists, back into our communities. And I'm not just talking about the 501c, the political rhetoric about having a 501c. I'm talking about unions actually being involved in the day-to-day social advocacy that's happening in their communities. We used to do that. Remember that there was a time where unions stood side by side with civil rights. But we don't see that now. That's why we're losing some of the messaging. We're losing some of the battles because unions and civil rights are not combined right now. We got to get back into our communities and do more social advocacy. Coalitions. Right now, all labor is speaking. All labor is at the table, private, public, as well as industrial. We're all at the table speaking the same message, talking about decent hours, wages, and working conditions for the middle class. Well, we should have done that before because we were asleep before. I'll be honest with you. We were stagnant. But no more. And Wisconsin's uprising, but we should have never been asleep. So we got to build these coalitions and never let them be broken again. And that's coalitions meaning just all of us working together. And common sense. What do I mean by common sense? Well, when I ran, I was told a lot of things to say. I was told a lot of things I shouldn't say. And I take some of it, I threw some of it away. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say what I want to say because we got to talk about common sense. And common sense means we got to talk to everybody. And I'm talking about now as a Democratic Party. We have to have common sense in our messaging because right now the far right is killing us, which is saying less taxes. Well, everybody likes less taxes. Whether you're rich or poor, you got to pay less taxes. They talk about freedom. But we all know that's a misnomer. They talk about freedom and being out of your lives. But they want to tell you what you can do in your bedroom. And they will tell you as a woman what kind of rights you have. But they talk about freedom, so we know it's a lie. But it's winning right now. And they talk about lowering taxes, less, more freedom. I would say, there was a study, and I don't want to go over my time here, but there was a study done. And there were three people in line. They gave the first, in a shopping line, they gave the first person $3, the second person $2, and the last person $1. They said, now you in the middle with $2, you got to give a dollar to someone. Either the person in front of you or the person behind you. Well, you know that 78% of the people in that line gave that $1 to the person in front of them that had $3. Now, when asked the question, why would you give the dollar to the person that had more money than you? Well, all of them said, well, I didn't want the person behind me to have more money than I have. So that's what we're dealing with. So again, messaging. We got to talk to the lowest common denominator, and we have to blend labor rights, civil rights, and American politics so that we are one united front, one united message. We have to do that. And now's the time. So people always ask me, well, Malin, are you going to run again? Malin, what are you going to do now? What side of the aisle are you going to be on? Are you going to be on labor, or are you going to be with the Democrats, or are you going to be electoral politics? And I say all of them. A wise man once said, I will not be judged today, but by my yesterday. But today I begin again, focused on the successes I will create today. So here we stand. And we got to talk about the successes that we will create as a people, as progressives. What will we create? Well, I can tell you what I will help to create. I will help to create today a land where we will not take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few. I will help to create today a place in our state where decent family and American values are not trumped by political and corporate interests. I will help to create today a land where winning is based upon your service to your community and what you want to do and what your vision is for the state of Wisconsin, not based upon how much money you can raise nationally. I want to help to create today a place where politics is not about just mudslinging or throwing mud against your opponent, but talking about what your vision is in the future of our state and being focused on the issues and being focused on the politics, not focused on the personalities. But what will you help to create? Well, those who write our history right now will ask, why did the people of the great state of Wisconsin stand up, stand together, and fight back against the divide and conquer strategy paralyzing their state? The answer is because we have something worth fighting for. And people always ask me again, am I finished? I say, hell no, I'm not finished. No, I'm not finished fighting. And we cannot be finished. I'm not finished fighting for that single mother in Eau Claire whose daughter has to sleep in the kitchen of a studio apartment just because times have gotten that rough. No, I'm not finished. I'm not finished fighting for that veteran Appleton who did two tours in Iraq but came home. Whether you agree with the war or not, that's not the problem. He comes home and he has no home. He has no job. No, I'm not finished fighting for him. I'm not finished fighting for the 10-year-old little girl in Racine who said, Malin, I go door to door to you because I care about public education and I care about the future. No, I'm not finished. I'm not finished fighting for that single mother teacher in Milwaukee who said that she had to sell her car because her health care premium benefits are getting too high. No, I'm not finished. I'm not finished fighting for that elderly person. I'm not finished. I'm not finished fighting for that elderly person who worked hard, gave back to their community, and all they want to do is retire with some dignity. And now they want to privatize their Social Security and take away their Medicare. No, I'm not finished. And we cannot be finished. I'm not finished fighting for our future, fighting for our children, and fighting for our grandchildren, because the time is now. And we have to do it now. So we have to stand up, get up, move our feet, because people are hurting. People are hurting. I said we have to stand up, get up and move our feet because people are hurting. And I'm not finished fighting for everyone every American deserves. Good jobs, quality education, and affordable health care. And you cannot be finished. Are you finished?
No.
Are you finished?
No.
Because these values should unite us, not divide us. We cannot be finished. No one said that this will be easy. No one said that this fight will be easy. But you know what? They start this fight. And if it's a fight they want, it's a fight they're going to get. But we got to be ready, armed, and equipped for the battle. We got to bring everything to the game like they used to say back in the old days. Money, marbles, and chalk, everything it takes to play, and we will prevail. Because this is still about justice. And this is still about history. And no one said justice comes easy. No one said history is always easy. But we have to work hard. History has proven that winners don't quit and quitters never win. I can't quit. I won't quit. I can't stop. I won't stop. I'm knocking the microphone over because I'm getting fired up. So let's go. Let's get out there. Our resolve has to be stronger. Our resolve has to be stronger, our pain has to last longer, and our passion has to run deeper because this is still about justice, this is still about history, this is something bigger than you, this is something bigger than me, and at the end of the day, we will win justice, and this will still be about history, and we will be victorious. Solidarity, brothers and sisters, and God bless the United States of America.
Wow. You know, it is funny. 11 years ago, I was much more concerned about the environment than I was about senior citizens. Now, I kind of like that stuff about Social Security. Hightower said, if you're going to trust Romney with Ryan with Social Security, he said he'd rather give a coyote his last lamb chop. Anyway, Malin, great job. Proud to have him as our candidate for Lieutenant Governor.